Hey, Go Beyond listeners. Taylor and I recorded these episodes with Fidelity Charitable earlier this year and had published the first episode in the series before COVID-19 came through and upended pretty much everything. We wanted to return to this series now that some modicum of normalcy looks to be on the horizon. Donor-advised funds are looking to be a really key giving channel moving forward, so we didn't want you to miss out.
The world around us is changing rapidly, and your job as a fundraiser or nonprofit marketer is evolving with it. We're Pursuant. We're built by fundraisers for fundraisers, and we've been in your shoes. So we want to bring you tips and tools that you can use to meet you where you are in your current reality and help you go beyond to where you really want to go. You're tuned in to a Pursuant listening experience.
Donor-advised funds are an increasingly popular giving method, but many nonprofits struggle to cultivate and steward donors who utilize these funds. We teamed up with Fidelity Charitable to create a three-part series breaking down what donor-advised funds are, the types of donors who prefer to give through them, and why your nonprofit should be engaging this subset of supporters. In this first episode, Elaine Martin breaks down exactly what donor-advised funds are and why they are becoming more common in the giving landscape.
Hello, hello, podcast listeners. This is Taylor and Leah. We are here today with a really special guest to talk about a really hot topic on the fundraising circuit these days, and that is donor-advised funds. So we're here with Elaine Martin. Hello, Elaine. How are you?
Hi. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you, and we're excited. We're doing this three-part series with you and your team, getting all into the weeds of donor-advised funds. So, Elaine, you are the Vice President and Managing Director of the Private Donor Group at Fidelity Charitable. We're really excited to have you and your team join us. We're going to be hearing from others who you work with, and to talk about this big growing area of philanthropy. So thank you for joining us.
Oh my gosh, it's my honor to be here. And this is a topic I'm super passionate and excited about. It's funny, when I was working in the nonprofit, in a more traditional nonprofit charity, before I came here, I was at the Global Fund for Women. And I was watching all these donors who I'd worked with for years through giving through their foundation or writing checks. And I suddenly noticed that more and more gifts were coming in from this organization, Fidelity Charitable. And I was fascinated by that and understanding that it was a donor advised fund and seeing the huge growth in this market of our sector has been really fun. And it's really nice to be working with so many of our donors on this side of the house now and watching the grants go out to their favorite nonprofits.
Yeah, it's really cool that you have experience on both sides of it now. So let's just get right on into the conversation. We're going to be talking with you about the background of donor advised funds. And you and I were talking a little bit before we hit that record button about your model of give, grow, grant. So let's just get started with, you know, why do people even use a donor advised fund? What is the benefit of a donor advised fund?
So, and donor advised fund is fabulous because what we find is that it enables people to give more. You can contribute all different kinds of assets. Instead of just giving cash, you could give appreciated securities, non-publicly traded assets. You can help grow your tax efficiency. And then once you've actually given that contribution, which is a irrevocable gift into your donor advised fund, you get to name that account and then choose from a series of different investment strategies to grow that account. And so once that happens, we see a lot of donors actually loving the administrative ease and simplicity of the grant making side of it. A lot of philanthropy is so personal, and a lot of it is also, a lot of people are looking for impact. And so we're finding that people are wanting help on how to do that grant making and getting that money to the nonprofits that need it most quickly. And one of our strengths is that we're really focused on making our giving effective, simple, and accessible. And so that's really, as we think about giving, making it easy and simple to give those assets, helping you grow and have more to give, and then also being able to do that due diligence for you to be able to get the grants out the door really easily.
As part of that, can we go back a little bit to the history of donor advised funds? Would you mind if we go there? I was thinking about that as you were talking. So when did these start? How did these start getting formulated and how did people start using them?
Yeah, it's amazing. So many people don't know that donor advised funds are over 100 years old, and they really grew out of the community foundations. The New York Community Trust and the Cleveland Foundation were sort of at the outset. But now there are over 1,000 donor advised fund sponsoring charities around the U.S. and that are housed in places like Fidelity Charitable, but also within the community foundation space, and also in some cases within the religious community. So there's like the National Christian Foundation and the Jewish Communal Fund. They're great donor advised fund models that we see alongside the national donor advised funds. And I guess I should say we're now about to celebrate our 30th year next year. So, you know, while donor advised funds have been around for a long time, we've actually really been around for about 30 years. And our chairman, Mr. Johnson, when he was setting up his own family foundation, he saw that there were a lot of opportunities and he wanted to grow that idea of democratizing philanthropy. And so wanted to make that accessible to a wider population. And so we've seen huge growth over those 30 years with more and more donors choosing to use a donor advised fund as part of their process of philanthropy.
Hey, Elaine, this is Leah chiming in here. So in terms of what companies offer donor advised funds as a investment option to their clients, what are some of the different financial institutions that offer this?
So it's interesting. We're actually a independent public charity, our own 501c3. So while we were conceived by our chairman at Fidelity Investments 30 years ago, we're actually an independent public charity. And so some of the national donor advised funds like us and Schwab Charitable, Vanguard Charitable are housed alongside, but are an independent public entity.
And so, Elaine, is that how most of the DAF industry works? Are most of them like that, where it's actually a charity in and of itself?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely. So a lot, you may have seen donor advised funds housed within a community foundation, for example, or through us. And I think that's part of how the model is so interesting, because it does enable you to get a charitable deduction by giving through an organization that is a public charity or might be set up as a corporate or a trust entity, but it's embedded within this charitable model.
So one question that I had, Elaine, is around the growth of donor advised funds. So we talked about that a little bit earlier, but what are some of the trends that we're seeing overall across the space? Like, it seems like it's really a growing area within philanthropy. And so how do you see that fitting into just the larger landscape of how philanthropy is changing?
It's actually been extraordinary. We just closed our 2019 fiscal year, and what we found was we ended up granting $7.3 billion through 1.5 million grants to over 240,000 nonprofits. So this is a hugely growing part of our sector. And one of the really interesting things is in 2018, we gave away $5.2 billion. In 2019, it was 7.3. So that is, I mean, a huge leap in and of itself. But even in that previous year when we'd given 5.2, that was the first year that we became the largest grant maker in the U.S. We'd surpassed the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who had previously held that grant-making accolade. And so we're just extraordinarily proud of the fact that our donors are so active, they're so engaged, and they're really going deep across a wide range of nonprofits, both here in the U.S. and abroad.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is, like, what do you think has been really driving people to invest in donor advised funds compared to other ways of giving?
So I think there's a few things. One is definitely the simplicity. It's so easy to set up the account. It's so easy to track and watch what your grant making is doing, and then actually be able to review annually how you've done and where you want to renew those grants to your favorite nonprofits or add in new organizations. We have a really simple app that you can download, which to do your grant making through. And I think that simplicity is one huge opportunity. The other, I think, is that many of our donors are thinking about where do they want their philanthropy to go and how do they want to expand their scope. And so, you know, we see a lot of donors who have historically had donor advised funds giving to their faith-based organization, giving to their religious affiliation, maybe giving to as a grateful patient to a hospital that cared for someone in their family and did an amazing job. And then what we're seeing now is that on average, many of the donors that we work with are giving an average of 10 grants a year, or maybe 15. And so they're expanding the number of organizations they're giving to because they're seeing the extraordinary impact that those organizations are having in the communities in which they're living. And also matching up what their passions are and wanting to be advocates for the work that they're seeing. So not just volunteering at those organizations or posting on social media about their passion for that cause area, but then actually putting money alongside it to say, this is something that I believe in and I want to support it. And I think that's been a really big reason is that people are responding to the fact that there are now 1.8 million charities in the US. And so there are a lot of opportunities to be able to grant to more organizations. And because the Donor Advised Fund is a model where you can take the time, do a thoughtful plan, and actually take the time to put a strategy in place, which is a multi-year strategy or a single-year strategy, we're seeing that people are really taking advantage of that.
Elaine, maybe you've covered this a little bit, but I find this fascinating, and I'm still myself trying to understand this whole world because we do see it growing. I think it's interesting that it's growing. I think it's mostly individuals that give through Donor Advised Fund, but can you clarify for us, do companies give this way as well now?
Yeah, I would say the vast majority of our Donor Advised Fund holders are individuals and families that have set up an account and they want to be able to, you know, in the case of some families, they're wanting to do that and be able to see what each other are doing, or parents wanting to offer an opportunity to get their kids involved in philanthropy at all ages. But we do see corporations also playing a role in this space. And we actually also have a program called our Giving Marketplace, which is specifically tailored to support corporate organizations as they look at offering a philanthropic workplace benefit to their employees. And so that's a new area that we developed over the last few years. But, you know, I think corporations are putting their values front and center. And I think donors are and individuals are aligning with those missions, both from a career perspective and being able to live that out through their giving through the workplace is also something we're really excited to see increasing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that Leah and I talked about related on another podcast many months ago, Leah. But we were talking a little bit about just this trend in more companies wanting to be very front and center, really with their brand about giving and making an impact and being a part of a bigger thing. So I think it's interesting how we see that weaving in to our world in the, you know, philanthropic space. And by the way, congratulations on the amount of grants that you guys gave last year. I mean, that's huge.
Oh my God. Awesome. Amazing. And it's so inspiring and also inspiring to see what people are wanting to give to and how they're bringing their personal stories into their philanthropy.
Yeah, very cool. So I'm curious, Elaine, we've talked a little bit about what the trends are today. Give us some predictions. You're in this world every day and you've been, you know, a fundraiser and on the other side of it. What do you think is going to happen? What kind of trends do you expect we're going to see over the next 2, 3, maybe 5 years?
Oh, good question. So it's interesting. One of the big things that we've seen as a trend that I think is going to continue to grow is this idea of aligning your values with your philanthropic strategy and also aligning your investment strategy with your philanthropic strategy. So one area we've seen as a growing trend is impact investing, where you basically have funding that you want to see a social good come out of it, as well as also potentially a financial good. And so we've seen an increase in interest around donors wanting to do recoverable grants, which are sort of a loan-like model to nonprofits. And we've also seen that donors are looking at environmental, social, and governance strategies. And so we've, over the last year, we've seen our impact investment strategy grow to over $1 billion. And I think that's an area that we can absolutely assume is going to be, you know, continue to grow. Another area that I think we're seeing a lot of interest in is this idea of millennials. So we have our Next Gen Fellows program, which is for 18 to 40 year olds to help them figure out what their strategy is for giving and how do they want to, what role do they want to play in their families and in their communities as an emerging philanthropist. And I think what we are finding is that millennials are really leading the way around bringing in volunteerism, advocacy, and giving together. And the idea of there are, you know, your time, your treasure, and your talent is something that we've all talked about for a long time in philanthropy, but they're really living that and they're bringing their voices into the conversation. And so advocating at the community level for issues and topics that they are passionate about is an area that I think we're going to see more of. And then I think the other thing that's really interesting is we've been told by our donors, and we've seen this live, that when a disaster strikes, whether it's a natural disaster or a humanitarian disaster, they have funds at the ready that they have put into their donor advice fund to be able to respond immediately to a natural disaster. And so we've seen an increase in giving internationally. We've seen an increase in really wanting to help those immediate needs when a crisis hits. And I think that as the next few years progress, it's going to be really interesting to see whether donors are going to want to take those learnings and apply them and leverage them in other spaces. So a lot of the work we spend our time on in my team is thinking about what are the approaches donors can take to their philanthropy. Do they want to be a capacity building funder? Do they want to be a seed funder? Do they want to support convening of donor communities or nonprofits? And I think across all these issue areas, we know that some of the areas where we've seen opportunities for more giving are around civic engagement and democracy. We have a lot of our donors who have been thinking and talking about that. We've seen a growth in interest in around environment. There's a lot of talk that arts and culture and human services are areas which are underfunded. And I think we're hoping that there will be an opportunity to kind of really match up what's happening locally in those areas, particularly around human services, in the next few years.
I love what you just shared about how donor-advised funds can really connect people with local services or local organizations. Some stat that I saw in some data that you guys have shared is that something like 49% of people tend to give to organizations that give to donor advice funds that give to local organizations. And so kind of piggybacking off of that fact, how does someone find a donor advice fund that is right for them?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I think that this idea of giving locally in the community in which you're based, it makes sense, right? If you're volunteering in an organization, if you're giving locally, you're going to feel more connected to that community. And so we actually partnered with an organization called the Magnify Community, which is out on the West Coast in the Silicon Valley area. And they took a look at exactly this topic, the idea of local giving to local nonprofits. And so we posted on our site a set of gift lists that you can give through the Magnify Community framework. So they've identified local organizations that are doing extraordinary work in those communities. And they're encouraging donors to give to those organizations, particularly those who live locally, so that they can feel like they're actually seeing the changing nature of their community being influenced by their giving. And so for us, we do a geography of giving report annually. And so that's another way where you can find out what some great organizations are and what trends, what other donors like you and who are based in your areas can give to.
That's awesome. And you definitely in your predictions hit on some things that I really wasn't thinking about when I think about donor advice funds. So I think that was fascinating, all of those things that you called out about millennial giving and local giving and natural disasters. I hadn't thought about that either. So really interesting stuff here. To round us out, Elaine, can we close out with your definition of give, grow, grant?
Sure. I think that when it comes to give, grow, grant, the idea is choose the right and most effective asset that you want to contribute to be able to then grow your philanthropy through strategic and thoughtful investment choices that while you're making your decisions about what you want to grant to. And so for us, that's really our motto. It's how we think about the three G's are sort of how we think about making giving simple and effective and accessible. And so for us, I think the Give, Grow, Grant model is really defines why a donor advised fund is such a great vehicle to use as you're thinking about your strategic giving. And, you know, for us, I think one thing I'll add is at Fidelity Charitable, we really take a values-based approach to giving. And so the three G's, as we like to call them, are really giving you the time and the space to be thoughtful, but also give yourself the time to align what your values are as you're thinking about your grant making.
Yeah, I love that. I love the concept, and I wanted to close out on that because I think it's great and the way that you break it down and make it simple for something that people might think is rather complex. You guys are making it really simple to be involved, to give in the way you want to give, and to get your help to give in the way that, you know, you want to give. So yeah. Elaine, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh my gosh, what a delight to be with you guys. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And we're looking forward to the next couple of episodes with Karen and Amy. And to close this out, Elaine, if people want to get in touch with you, they want to learn more, they want to find out more about your work at Fidelity Charitable, what's the best way for them to do that or to read more or learn more?
Yeah, so fidelitycharitable.org is our website. We have amazing resources, everything from like tools and guidance that you can use to help inform your philanthropy strategy at all three of those G's. We also have a lot of guidance around those give lists that I was mentioning, around how to think about bringing your philanthropy into this next generation of giving. And so I think that would be a great place. And really, always, we're always happy to connect with you. We have teams around the country. And while I'm headquartered in North Carolina, I'm always on the road and always delighted to connect with folks when they're out in the field. So thank you so much.
And sometime soon, since I live and work remotely, you and I aren't that far from each other. When I make it to Raleigh next, we'll go grab some lunch and talk more and nerd out on this a little bit more.
I can't wait. That sounds great.
All right. Well, thank you, Elaine. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for tuning in with us. Be sure to check out all of the latest and greatest Pursuant resources at Pursuant.com. Or drop us a line at info@pursuant.com.